Hello, 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 everybody. I am Pedro.
And I am Meredith.
I love the way you said that. And this is Gritty Reboot, the grittiest show about reboots there has ever truly been.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
And so what are we talking about today? We're not talking about a reboot, so that's appropriate, right?
Yeah, we are doing something a little special. We're taking a break from our underwater creatures.
Yeah, we were doing our underwater triple feature. We were taking a look at The Abyss, Deep Star 6, and Leviathan. And you know what? Basically, this week, it really got away from us, is basically the long and the short of it. There was, I don't know if anybody follows the news here or keeps going on what's going on in Texas, but we had a hurricane come through, and so we had some family in the house that really prevented us from doing our podcast thing. And with the movie being The Abyss, I don't think we really wanted to mess around and half-ass one of my favorite movies.
No.
So we just decided, since we got out on Saturday to go see Maxine, that we would talk about this movie and a little bit about the X franchise.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. We're just dropping a Maxine review right now, and then you know we'll get back to the triple feature of Deep Star 6 and The Abyss and really knock down James Cameron's immortal epic.
We just wanted everybody to have a little taste.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just doing something a little bit different here. You know, every now and then, as a podcaster, you make the best plan that you can.
Yeah. But
then you have family show up, and then I got super sick right after they left. Like, yeah. I barely got out of bed, like, on Tuesday. So, I mean, just, it was completely shot. So, here we are. This is really the 11th hour for us to record, like, the show. We're getting it done. We're talking about Maxine, but it's a movie that we like. And if you listen to the show, if you're a fan of the show, first of all, thanks, Mom. And second of all, you know that Pearl was one of my favorite movies of a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Yeah, I think I put it at my number 3 or 4.
Yeah, I had it on my list.
I had to take a look, but I certainly thought Mia Goth should have gotten an Oscar nomination. I thought she was one of the best performances of the year. So we are certainly fans of this work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I loved Pearl. I loved its rawness and Ty West. I'm going to get it right.
It's okay.
Ty West shows his whole style throughout both movies. I didn't really like X as much, but I haven't seen it since the first time I saw it, which was years ago.
Yeah, we should probably rectify that and actually get the opportunity to watch X.
Yeah. I wanted to do a rewatch of all of them before we watched Maxine, but we just had that opportunity.
Yeah, it just sort of came up that we had an opportunity and we didn't need a sitter, so we took off to go see a movie. And we enjoyed it. Yeah. We enjoyed it. I think it's a flawed film, but I did enjoy it more. I thought the positives outweighed the negatives in this film.
Did you enjoy it more than Pearl?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I thought Pearl, I don't think it's the best of the franchise is what I'm saying. A lot of people have called it an absolute miss. And I think some of the performances in this film really could really prevent that from happening. Even if I will say Ty West does seem a little unfocused at times.
Yeah.
That would be my main goal. My main thing when we really get into the movie. But I think one of the things that I want to talk about before is, let's say somebody wanted to get a hold of us. How would they do that, Meredith?
Well, they could do it my favorite way, which would be to email. You can email us at grittyrebootcast@gmail.com.
Get the old dial-up modem out.
Yeah. Or you could go to whatever at whatever Instagram. Blah, blah, blah.
That's right. You can search for Gritty Reboot at Instagram, at TikTok, or on YouTube and MySpace, and you'll be able to find us, and you can follow along with our content. We put a bunch of clips up there. I try to post little things. Like, I think a couple weeks ago, I did, like, a review of Brain Scan that got a nice reaction, and it didn't get shared a lot because I said swear words, and I refuse to, like, censor myself for TikTok.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have noticed. I think I actually should take a look at the analytics of, like, what our listener age base is. If you're older, I think people would be surprised that on TikTok, you don't really say fuck or shit. Yeah. Even I think the weirdest one is suicide, right?
Yeah.
People say he unalived himself because that won't trigger like the censor. And it's become that way at YouTube as well. And it really sucks. I really dislike it. And I've noticed it before. If I have any profanity in a video, it seems to hit like a 300 wall limit. We're not that popular, guys. And if I don't, sometimes videos get to 1,000 to 2,000 views and stuff like that. Like, I realized the most popular clip we had didn't have any profanity in it.
Hmm.
That's the one that got like 15,000 views.
Yeah, I would have a hard time not censoring myself that much.
It's just a weird thing. I don't really choose to do it. Like, it's just promotion for the show. And, you know, I think if you're listening to other movie podcasts or, I mean, we're not specifically focused on horror, even though we do talk about horror quite a bit. So if you focus on those kind of podcasts, I mean, you might run across us or whatever. And I think we have a good social media following, even though if I should update it more regularly. I try as best I can, but it's very difficult to make things every day.
Yeah. Well, you're a dad and you work and all that jazz. Thank Life. You.
And all that jazz.
All right. So I put together a little information about this movie. Trivia, if you will.
The trivia section of the podcast, gentlemen.
Yes.
And ladies.
The Hollywood star Maxine puts her cigarette out on Theda Bara's The Actress Pearl Took Inspiration From to name her crocodile Pearl.
I caught that in the thing.
Yeah.
The crocodile's name.
Maxine's OUI shirt is a reference to OUI, a men's adult pornographic magazine.
I did not.
Published in the U.S. featuring explicit nude photographs, OUI ceased publication in 2007.
I had never heard of this publication before this moment.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, not that I was up on my porn mags or anything like that, but I just knew Playboy and Playpen. And one time when I was in Cancun, I bought an issue of Naughty Neighbor.
Like,
it was the filthiest thing I've ever read.
Towards the end of me and my ex's relationship, we got a huge collection of like old 80s porn from like Playboy.
From Playboy?
Yeah. Somewhere in a garage facility, we had that shit.
Yeah.
In a storage facility, garage facility, whatever.
Was it a good condition? Was it sticky?
Oh, no. They were in excellent condition.
Oh, really? Yeah, because people could appreciate a Playboy mag is the thing. Playboy was like a respected publication.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't uncommon for like a popular actor to go and sit down with an interview for Playboy. That really didn't stop becoming a thing until the O's.
Oh, man, when we first got it, we spent hours, like, going through it and looking at all the old porn, and
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
It was truly, truly amazing. All right, so the filmmakers went old school during production. The movie was made the same way as it would have been in the 1980s, i.e. using the same camera equipment as back then and avoiding modern trickery when filming.
I mean, that makes sense. They shot on film then?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. My favorite.
The movie looks gorgeous. I will say that.
Yeah.
That is one thing I'll get right off the bat. The movie looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Lead actress Mia Goth, Maxine Meeks, stated the story of the film, in her opinion, is the best of the three.
I'm not surprised she is saying that on the promotional trail.
Yeah. Mia Goth is the granddaughter of Brazilian actress Maria Gladys. As Goth became more popular in Brazil, this became a popular curiosity and ended up going viral. Marketing for this film in Brazil decided to exploit this, and the granddaughter of Brazilian actress Maria Gladys succeeded in Goth's name whenever it was mentioned while promoting the movie, despite Gladys having no connection to it.
That was a very interesting fact. I was completely unaware of that. That was something I did not know in the least.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to go get a picture of her.
I had no idea she was Brazilian.
No, I didn't. Like, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah. Her accent's odd.
Yeah.
It's odd. Her version of a Southern accent's really solid. It doesn't matter if it's not like accurate. It's still solid.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey's accent in House of Cards. I know I shouldn't talk about Kevin Spacey, but like that's an accent that's not really real, but it's like butter coming out of his mouth. You know?
Ugh. It's disgusting.
I know. You just think about him just trying to convince a boy to come home with him.
Yeah. Ugh.
Fuck Kevin Spacey is the point of this whole bit.
Yeah. According to Mia Goth, she listened to 80s music such as Blondie to immerse herself into the setting of the movie, but it did not give her the energy that she needed. Instead, she listened to hip-hop artists such as Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Eminem to give her more confidence, which I like all three of those.
Well, I'm not surprised. I think sometimes, like, as an artist or an actor, like, you try to think, I'll find inspiration in this work, and it's not really where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, this will fit the tone and the mood, and she might have gone through, like, 180 songs and just never found one she just really jammed with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she felt Maxine in other parts, you know, in other bits of music. So I'm glad she obviously found the character.
Okay. Yeah, you have to do whatever you got to do as an actress, I imagine. I mean, I don't know anything about acting, but I assume.
Yeah.
So, after Maxine finishes her audition at the beginning of the film and sees all the other actresses waiting in line, there's a sign that reads X Factor, something mentioned in Pearl and X as a special quality sought for in an actress. So that's how one of the reasons they're linked. There's other reasons, but I didn't find them very interesting.
It's okay.
Yeah, it was way too specific.
There's looser reasons for trilogies than X. It's fine. Mia Goth is the thing that connects them all together.
Yeah.
It's weird to think Jenna Ortega was in the first one just before she became a star.
Yeah.
Like right before that happened, which I think helped the movie out.
During the opening flashback scene, while dancing for her father, Maxine is doing a portion of the same dance that Pearl performed in audition in Pearl.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's all, folks.
That's all the facts you have? Those are good facts.
Yeah.
For a movie that just came out, that was actually pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to get the real behind-the-scenes stuff until, like, the DVD. Pardon me,
Who are you? What century are you in?
Well, they do still make I guarantee you there will be a DVD version of Maxine.
You think so?
Yes, there will be a DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, because it's a new movie. Sony is still pressing those. So, I don't know. Redbox just went out of business, so eventually that'll come to an end. But there still is a market for DVD, from what I understand, even though it is dwindling.
Huh. Well, that's good. You know, you got to keep that shit alive.
Yeah, it's surprising. I mean, I go to the store and I see DVDs.
Yeah.
There was a DVD of Ghostbuster the other day. So I was like, somebody's buying them.
Yeah.
And they just don't care. By the way, it's not that they look like shit. I mean, they're just low resolution.
Yeah.
You know, they're low. We for this show, we have to watch DVDs quite a bit because sometimes it's just tough to find movies.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the only copy I have is either I got one from a friend and ripped it a long time ago. I know, scandal. Or, like, I bought the DVD 20 years ago, ripped it, and that's the only one that we have. Like, I know something we did that with was of low quality. Oh, The Fog.
Mm.
The Fog. I never upgraded to the 4K Blu-ray or even the regular Blu-ray. I just never got around to it. So that was the old-ass DVD. So it's still there.
Cool.
A24 presents the follow-up to a film that possessed a nation. The Puritan 2.
The blood's wrong.
Molly Bennett, meet Maxine Minx.
Pleased to meet you.
So I know we're playing the Maxine trailer right now, but I have to ask you straight up, if you were going to rank these three movies, where are you putting them?
Whatever happens, show business.
Pearl number one.
Pearl number one.
Again. Maxine number two. X number three.
I think for me, it's going to go Pearl number one, X at two, and then this one at three. And that's not necessarily an insult to the film. I just think that I appreciated the vision and how it came together in a better way in those two movies than it did in this one.
I had a blast watching this movie. I didn't come out of the theater thinking, oh man, I wish I didn't waste my money on that or anything like that. I really fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think this is still a good movie. This is still like a worthy installment for this franchise. But my biggest complaint is, like I said earlier, Ty West was a bit unfocused in what he wanted to do. There's some really great moments in this movie, but I think his narrative is just weirdly unfocused, and he doesn't give Maxine enough times to shine, which I think is an odd decision. But there are a lot of other great character actors in this movie, and tons of them. One of the ones I really wanted to point out is Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Bacon is having a goddamn blast in this movie.
Yeah.
And it shows in like every scene. He is chewing scenery, but in the best way. He really is. He is an absolute delight in this film, as is Giancarlo Esposito. I think he almost gets a laugh every time he comes on screen.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, they got good actors. Giancarlo from Breaking Bad.
We have a brief appearance by Halsey, who I think does a decent job in her small role.
Mm-hmm.
She gets herself killed by the fake Night Stalker. I think the cop storyline, I think, is well done. I know it's Bridget Moynihan, and I'm trying to think who the other detective was. Bobby Cannavale. I actually really liked that part of the story. Yeah, well, I'd seen him before. There's other things that I like him from. And the cop storyline, I think, is pretty nice. This is, being the film is from the 80s, you know, every film has done like a different era. You know, you had a more 70s slasher kind of feel, Texas Chainsaw vibe to the original film mixed with porn, obviously. And then you had a sort of big musical film from the 40s, that kind of vibe from Pearl, right?
Yeah.
A very different feel to that film than what you've done, different style and everything like that than what Ty West had presented in the previous movie. And this is very much an 80s film to a decent extent. And one of the things I think is very much like this era of the 80s, or maybe a little bit before, is it feels a lot like an old giallo picture. And we talked about giallo, it's just an Italian word for a slasher, generally with like a murder mystery sort of behind it.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Friday 13th is kind of like that, if you think about it. Even though eventually those movies move away from the mystery aspect.
We're talking about Suspiria.
Yeah, something like that. Like that's a good example of that kind of movie. And that's where we obviously got into it there. But that's a plug to go listen to our Suspiria show. It was fantastic. But this movie does feel like that as well, because there's very stylish kills. There is generally a mystery that drives it with the detectives. And like I said, that is one of my favorite elements of the film, even though I don't think the bad guy really comes together in a fantastic way.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? I mean,
Let's try that one more time.
I don't know what I was talking about.
Very well. So I think one of the other elements about the film that I didn't particularly care for was, like I mentioned earlier, Mia Goth, I don't think gets enough time to really shine as Maxine.
Yeah.
Even though there's a fantastic ball-crushing scene early in the film. I think one of her standout scenes is, well, the standout scenes are anytime she works with Kevin Bacon, especially when they have dinner in the midway point of the film, and he tells her, you know, he knows about who she is and everything like that, and his client is coming and stuff like that. And it really throws Maxine into a high stress mode.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see her in that way.
Yeah.
And I feel like the movie didn't take the time to put her in enough extreme circumstances that mattered.
Well, I don't think she really expected her dad to come back.
No.
And haunt her like this.
That's very true. I don't think anybody expected that who had seen the other. I don't remember her talking about, well, my father was an evil preacher in the first movie. She might have said that. I don't recall.
No.
You know, I need to go back and watch X, even though I did rank it above this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I need to go back and watch those movies, see how they're actually linked, because if it is linked, it's loose.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty, the connection's Mia Goth from what I, yeah. That's what I got. The connection's Mia Goth.
Yeah.
What is there an element of the film that you didn't care for?
It did sometimes lack direction. You'd have scenes where you would have, like, Mia Goth acting like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have other scenes where, you know, it's not really focused on her. So there wasn't really a clear direction as far as what the movie was trying to get across.
Yeah, I think that's one of the elements that I've obviously talked about and really have kind of harped on as well. I think that's the one point. I think they made this movie pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think Ty West could have really benefited from like one more round with the screen.
Yeah.
To kind of tighten a few things up.
Exactly.
Because I think the whole sequence with the psycho house, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
Like, she just runs around and eventually she runs the security and they take care of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
And I remember when that was over, I was like, that wasn't a great scene. And that was kind of pointless. And like, that is something I think the movie does a couple of times. And that's what I just wanted to mention, that one right there that sticks out of my head without, you know, getting too deep into spoilers. I mean, you guys, if you haven't guessed, you probably should have watched the movie. But we are not spoiling everything. Well, we're spoiling everything. You already said who the killer was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we're spoiling everything.
Yeah,
I'm going to go back and add a spoiler warning before the show.
Big time.
All this together.
Yeah.
So, my bad. Yeah, I think it's one of those things to where, like, that scene just doesn't add to much. And, like, it's something to do with Maxine. And I was like, you shouldn't be finding things to do with Maxine. She needs to be doing really fun, interesting things. And that's where I thought the movie didn't excel.
Yeah.
And why I put it almost behind the other films. Because I think those movies' vision, like I said, comes together in a much stronger way. Certainly Pearl does.
And then an opposite, like, I like scenes where she's talking to the Scream Queen, the B-movie Scream Queen. In her actor's trailer.
Lily Collins?
Yeah, and she gives her some advice.
Lily Collins has a really nice performance in a small, small role.
Yeah, I like that interaction. Mm-hmm. So it had good moments like that. It had moments where Maxine is being a badass, like I talked about, and being her badass self, basically.
Yeah, Elizabeth Debicki as the director, I think, was another nice addition. And she sort of moves the plot forward in a very...
Your sexy giraffe.
That's right, a sexy giraffe, that's right. Yeah. She's 6'8". 100 feet tall, she is? No, I mean, she's really good.
Yeah.
I like the idea of her being this avant-garde slasher director in the 80s, when that could be a thing that might have existed.
Yeah.
It's a fun idea, and I would love to see the real film that is. Was it The Pilgrim? Is that what it was or something like that? Yeah, I'm curious what that actual movie could have been.
Yeah, The Pilgrim. I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, that's a solid point in that film. You know, I love all the stuff they do in the movie world. One of my favorite scenes in this film is the head cast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the head cast where she's sort of having a flashback to everything that's occurred. And she feels like there's something in the room coming at her. Yeah, and that's all it is. It's this panic attack, and Mia Goth sells it perfectly, and having all that giant shit on her head.
That goo.
Yeah, where you can't necessarily breathe is a particularly terrifying thing.
Yeah, how does she breathe in that?
Yeah, you just usually get like straws poked up your nose. That's really, really tough work, by the way, getting yourself put in that kind of makeup. Especially if you're not really used to that, you can find yourself in real trouble.
Yeah, I can imagine. You'd have to have a little practice, I guess, with some plaster.
Well, I've talked about this in the past, that Jim Carrey, he had to have a Navy SEAL who dealt with torture help him deal with the makeup on the Grinch. And it lets you know that how it really bothers some people.
Yeah.
He never should have taken that part. It wasn't a great movie. I know some people love it, but I don't.
What are you going to do?
We'll cover it at Christmas.
Yep. Oh, God.
You're not looking forward to covering the Grinch?
No.
So on a numerical scale, what are you going to give Maxine?
I give it a 7.
You give it a 7?
Yeah.
I think I'll say a 6. I think I liked it just a little bit less than you did, but I still very much enjoyed this film.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Yeah, I think if you enjoy the other two movies in this series, you'll probably enjoy this film. Most likely. I'm sure you'll find some things to nitpick in it like we did, but you will certainly find things to really appreciate here. I think if you like giallo films, I think you like 80s movies, I think you'll appreciate some of the things that are going on here as well. But as I've said before, my main issue, I think, is probably with that ending.
Yeah.
Some of the actions in there are nice and there's some great gore in it, but I think emotionally it's pretty unsatisfying, unlike the ending of X, which is the opposite.
Yeah.
And I think Pearl, I think this movie ends on a bit of a limp note. I wish that was just a bit better. And even when we get done with the finale and she's just shooting the movie and everything's great and she's famous, I'm glad Maxine gets sort of a happy ending.
Yeah, me too. I like the ending.
Yeah, but I appreciate that. But, you know, maybe a darker one could have been more impactful or emotional. And your emotions won't lie to you during a movie is something that Roger Ebert said. I might have butchered that. But I think that's my main complaint about Pearl is I never really felt it or anything like that. Like I was never like that invested. So that's why I can't give it over a 6, which I was in Pearl, which is why I made it one of my favorite movies of the year. I was almost invested from the first frame.
Yeah.
I just wasn't here. And I think that's my ultimate disappointment. I was hoping he could outdo that, but I think Ty West certainly has opportunities to still go out there and hit home runs. I still want to see what he can do. I just wished he'd completely nailed the landing here or made the strongest film in the franchise, but still enjoyable.
Yeah. Like I said, I give it a 7 because I thought the movie was effortless and it's, you know, just having a good time on screen. I think Mia Goth is really talented and I can't wait to see what she does without Ty West.
Yeah, it's not going to be Blade. I know she's been in that for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Like literally the entire X trilogy has been made since she was signed on to that film.
Like we saw the Suspiria. Was it the Suspiria? Suspiria remake. Yeah, she was in that.
I saw Infinity Pool, which I thought she was really good in.
I haven't seen that.
It's by Brandon Cronenberg's, by David Cronenberg's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care for nepotism. I just don't think Brandon Cronenberg's very good.
What are you going to do?
It's just the way it goes, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about something here that as we were recording kind of came all over the internet, and there is a report on the film that Mia Goth attacked one of the extras.
Yeah.
That she allegedly kicked him while he was laying on the ground for one of the shots they were doing.
Yeah.
At first inadvertently, and then came back to do it again. And then later confronted the gentleman in the porta potty. And told him that he was a nothing and she can do what she wanted and him thrown off set. I might be paraphrasing here. Once again, I'm not a news journalist. I'm barely a film critic. But it's just something that really came across today. And, you know, the only reason that I wanted to talk about it, oddly enough, is because film sets are an archaic place. And the idea of this hierarchy really exists of, like, the producers, the director, and then the actors. And there is a whole concept of the industry of trying to protect everybody from real trouble up at the top. And obviously, you know about this through Harvey Weinstein sort of stuff, but it's really on almost every film production. Now, I'm not saying that Mia Goth did this or anything like that, but the culture of film leads people to sort of do weird things. You know, we've talked about Jared Leto in the past, like leaving jars of piss. I'm, you know, once again, that might not be close to, but he did like gross things while playing the Joker.
Yeah.
And like, that's unprofessional as fuck. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if I was an actor on, like if I was Tom Hardy, I'd go to him and go like, don't you ever do that again. I don't care how method you are. You do not do that to me again. You know, I'd feel like that would be like, no, there's a line of professionalism, sir. You know, it's just one of the things that is sort of strange. You can get away with that in a film set. You know, a director can be, you know, downright abusive. We talked about George Cosmatos last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that kind of attitude can still exist today. You know, you're supposed to deal with James Cameron pushing everybody 18 hours. A friend of mine, a guy I worked with in the past, lost a finger on the Abyss. Because he was working for 30 straight hours.
Damn.
And he just fell asleep and whoosh, while he was cutting something, he just dozed for a second and cut his pinky off.
Eesh.
But, you know, like that's just the kind of environment on a film set. So I'm not saying once again that I believe the story, but oddly enough, film sets do breed a weird environment where, you know, an actor could feel the power which they can do something like that.
Well, if it's true, it sucks.
It does suck.
I liked her a lot, and I don't want to dislike her.
These are just allegations at this point, but it is something we wanted to talk about since it sort of just came up while we were going to cover the movie. And, you know, that's all I wanted to say about it right there is film sets are a very, very odd place in that respect in the modern world. You know, you're still supposed to work 12 hours there, and that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, that's very few places where that gets away, but that's just how production budgets stay where they are. And sometimes weird things like that can occur. You know, I've seen a number of abusive things actors have done, and you're just supposed to roll with it unless you want to get blackballed or fired.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not true, but like I said, I've seen similar things in the past.
Well, all right, folks, we'll be back next week with The Abyss.
Yeah, we'll be continuing our deep dive into the Leviathan Deep Star 6 Abyss Triangle.
Yeah, the underwater sea creature. Feature.
That's what I should have called it, the true triangle of sadness, because all the movies bombed. We're going to be doing our normal thing, getting back to our regular schedule now that, you know, we're settled back into a groove again. People are out of the house. It's nice again. I'm not feeling sick. So we'll be hitting our episodes out normal time. And obviously now we have video, so you can see a very sweaty me as it's very, very hot in Texas this week.
Yeah.
But
it's like 100. Plus heat index.
I finally had to add a fan in here that I have to kill and post. And I hope it works out. But we will see you guys next week when we dive back into the abyss.
All right. Bye.
See you.